1 Corinthians 10:31. If you would be turning there, 1 Corinthians 10:31. That'll be the first scripture we turn to this evening. We'd like to say good afternoon to everyone. I'm glad to be here. I'd rather be sitting down there, but I'm glad to be here nonetheless. A lot of people, they get up and they say, we'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity, and I'm a little nervous about that at the moment, so I don't know if I'll thank them just yet. I may do that at the end of the sermon. I'd already talked to Ty about doing the Sunday night sermon with Brother Rick being gone. And then when Brother Pitts come, a couple of his sermons helped ensure that in me even more. The first one, you're not doing anything, you need to do more. And so I said, well, I'm going to try to. So then the other one was breaking out of your comfort zone. We want to bring more people to Christ. How are we going to do that? So, how was the singing this morning? Thought Andrew did an excellent job. Jared did an excellent job tonight. But wouldn't musical instruments make it that much more better? Wouldn't having a band up here just make it all sound better and make everyone have more fun? So now I've got everyone's attention, because now the elders are thinking, I don't know if we wanted them up there either. And the Ty's back there saying, oh no, the elders are coming after me next because I'm the one that got him up there. So, the title of my sermon, if I was going to give it a title, would be, Isn't It Sad We Don't Have Instrumental Music? Wouldn't more people come if we did? Wouldn't more people stay if we did? So, let's use the Bible to try to prove we should have instrumental music. But let's remember also that we need book, chapter, and verse for everything that we're going to do. So let's start in 1 Corinthians 10:31. And I have to walk, and I use my hands when I walk. I can't walk without them. And at work, my first meeting we had, we didn't have a podium yet. I walked up and down the aisles between my guys. I said, when I get a podium, I'll stand still. They gave me a podium with wheels on it. So now I just scoot around everywhere I go. So, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, if we want instrumental music, we're going to do it to the glory of God, right? That's why we want it. We're going to use it to help glorify God. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, if we're going to use instrumental music. We're going to sing songs with the music to praise God. So, all right, that should have us covered there. So let's start in the Old Testament. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 15. There's also no PowerPoint tonight on purpose because I thought, well, if something's going to go wrong, that's where it'll go wrong first, so we'll just get that out of the way and not have to worry with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's look at verse 16. David also commanded the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their brothers as the singers who should play loudly on musical instruments, on harps and lyres and cymbals to raise sounds of joy. So there's one example where they used it. Chapter 23, 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles 23, look at verse 5. 4,000 gatekeepers, 4,000 shall offer praises to the Lord with the instruments that I have made for praise. And David organized them in divisions corresponding to the sons of Levi. There's another verse where it shows, hey, there's more instruments involved. Nehemiah chapter 12. Nehemiah chapter 12. Verse 27. and that the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem may salt the Levites in all their places, to bring them to Jerusalem, to celebrate the dedication with gladness, with thanksgiving, and with singing, with cymbals, and harps, and lyres. More evidence, musical instruments. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 25. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 25. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seers, and of Nathan the prophet, for the commandment was from the Lord through his prophets. David even states more so, that God commanded them to do it. All right. Psalms 150. Psalms 150. The whole chapter. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They brought out every instrument they could find. All right, that's the Old Testament. What about New Testament scriptures to back it up? Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. There's one example of music in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 6 and 7. Now brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge of prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as a flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? More examples of instruments even in the New Testament. Then the book of Revelation. There's several in the book of Revelation. We're going to look at two. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5 and verse 8. And verse 9. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals." So here we have harps being used. And then Revelation chapter 14. Revelation 14, verses 2 and 3. And I heard a voice from heaven like the roar of many waters and like the sound of a loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and before the elders. More sounds, more music, more musical instruments. So here's the base of us wanting to use musical instruments. We have scriptures showing the Old Testament. We have scriptures in the New Testament showing musical instruments were used. But let's go back and look at these scriptures a little closer now. We're not going to go back to all of them, but let's start in 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 16 that we did earlier. David also commanded the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their brothers as the singers, who should play loudly on musical instruments, on harps and lyres and cymbals, to raise sounds of joy. Musical instruments first come along in more in our times was a piano. And if you've been to a wedding or even a worship service of a denomination that has one, it's usually this little old lady that's sitting up there just banging away on a piano. And sometimes you can understand what she's playing. Sometimes she's just in her own little world. And I've been to weddings where you didn't know that was the music, the wedding march, because she was just going on that piano and in her own little time. But the thing is, according to that verse, if you're going to use a piano, there's so many more things you should be using. If we're following what the Old Testament says, the piano's not enough. We've got to have harps and lyres, cymbals, We need that whole band up here. So now we have electric guitars. We have people here that play musical instruments. We could have Matt up here strumming his guitar, Brother Rick over here with his banjo, having a bluegrass service. There's other people in here. I'm sure we have a drummer in the audience somewhere, our future drummer. We could have a rock service just as easy. A lot of denominations call it contemporary services where they just use the piano. Then they have the new service where it's everything else. So why can't we do that? All right? 1 Chronicles 23. Another one of verses we looked at in 1 Chronicles. Verse 5 again. 4,000 shall offer praises to the Lord with instruments that I have made for praise. It's a lot of people. But it also says David made them all. Now, did David actually sit there and make 4,000 instruments? If he did, who's going to be the one that gets in here and starts making all the instruments? Before I got up here, I heard Randy is the one that customized the podium up here. So are we going to have Randy make instruments for everybody? So you want to use the Old Testament. There's a little more that you have to do than just saying, hey, the piano's all we need. 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Verse 25 through 28. The house of the Lord was cymbals, harps, lyres, according to the commandment of David, the king seer of the Nathan the prophet, for the commandments was from the Lord through his prophets. Let's continue reading down. The Levites stood with the instruments of David and the priest and the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded the burnt offerings be offered on the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord began also, and the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. The whole assembly worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. There you have singers, and you have trumpeters, knowing that they were doing it. But what's the other key element that they did in there? Sacrifice. So, I want this band up here, but now we're going to have to replace the Lord's Supper table with a grill because we're going to do sacrifices, right? Oh, well, we don't want that part. We just want this other part. Okay. Let's turn to Psalms 150. We're not going to read the whole thing again. We're just going to skip to well, if I can't find it, I'm going to read the whole thing. There we go, verse 4. Praise him with a tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipes. So now we've got all the instruments. What else can we do? Well, now we're going to dance too. So we're going to be dancing up and down the aisle. Someone up here is going to be dancing while the band's going behind them. There's more things we're going to have to add if we're wanting these musical instruments. All right. So, is the Old Testament still in effect today? Galatians 3. Galatians 3. Galatians 3, 23 through 25. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no more longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. There and then reading in the book of Hebrews, the old law was done away with. Christ died to replace that law with the New Testament, which we follow now. Plus also, the Old Testament authorized many other things. The Sabbath day, to keep it holy. How many of you worked yesterday? How many of you worked in the yard yesterday? We can't do that if we're going to follow what the Old Testament says. Animal sacrifices, we touched on already. Levitical priesthood. I don't know if there's any actual Jews in here, but I don't know that any would be of the Levitical priesthood, and I don't see anyone ordained yet either, so I don't see any priest. Tithing. It's not required anymore. Burning of incense. I just hate going in those convenience stores that burn it all the time. I can't even stand to go in there. That'd be awful coming in with incense all the time. Circumcision. And then, of course, dancing and instrumental music following that as well. They were used and authorized, and God commanded them. But we're no longer under the old law. If we do one, don't we have to do them all? We can't pick and choose, right? It's all or nothing with God. So, I think we need to focus on the New Testament. So let's go to the New Testament, Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:19. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Well, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It says singing. Well, it says psalms. Well, psalms are in the Old Testament, so we need to be able to sing the psalms in the Old Testament, and they were used with musical instruments. Well, okay. So which psalms are you going to sing? Because you can't pick and choose, right? Can you do all the psalms? It's going to be hard doing Psalms 119 in a song. That's going to be a long sermon, a long singing session. But turn to Psalms 137. Psalms 137. Let's just see how, if we sing all the psalms, would go. This one starts out, has a little subtitle, says, "How shall we sing the Lord's song? By the waters of Babylon they are swept down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung our lyres, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" But go all the way to verse 9. "Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rock." So we're going to sing about dashing our kids against a rock? So that's not going to make any sense either. That's not what Psalms is implying in Ephesians 5:19. We've got to do every psalm that's in the book. So let's find some more. Let's go back to the New Testament versions. Luke 15, verse 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. Is that a worship service? This is the return of the prodigal son. So, this is at the dad's house, right? Not a worship service. They're just rejoicing that the son's come home. The other son's out in the field saying, I heard the music. What's going on? It's not a worship service. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, 6 and 7. Let's just go to verse 7. If even lifeless instruments such as a flute or harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? It's not talking about worship. It's talking about a lifeless instrument. That if you don't play it right, how is anyone going to know what you're doing with it? If you say, all right, here's a trumpet, and I hand it to someone they've never played a trumpet before in their life, how's that going to sound? It's going to sound awful, right? It's like when the kids start practicing. Get that first violin when they're in school, and they say, "Mom, look what I learned. I'm going to learn the violin." You invest in earplugs, and you help them get through it, right? You can't find any scripture stating to make sure you learn an instrument to play to God. Just using it as an example. If you can't make that do what it's supposed to do, what good is it to anyone? Let's go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, 8 and 9. "When he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp." All right, so we got 24 elders. That's a lot of elders to have in one place. We got four living creatures to go with them. One, each hand they're holding a harp. The other one they're holding a bowl of incense. How are they going to pluck the harp if they got the bowl of incense in this hand and the harp in this hand? You go down further, it says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll. It doesn't say they played that harp. And again, how could they if they got these two things in their hands with the incense over here and the harp over here? Revelation 14. Revelation 14, verses 2 and 3. And I heard the voice from heaven like the roar of many waters and like the sound of a loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of a harpist playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne, and before the living creatures, and before the elders. Does it say there's actually a harp there? The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. The voice they heard was so beautiful, that's the only thing they could compare it to. But a lot of Revelation is figurative, it is figurative, sorry. It's not literal. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12 and verse 1. And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. Pretty sure none of us have seen that, right? Or the living creatures with the 24 elders. But people want to say that's where we're allowed to sing because they're singing in heaven. They're using harps in heaven. So we should be like what heaven is. Then, again, we're getting to the picking and choosing part. Go to chapter 9, Revelation chapter 9. If you don't know, I'm in the pest control business, right? All right, verse 7, in appearance the locusts were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, what looked like crowns of gold, their faces were like human faces, their hair like women's hair, and their teeth like lions' teeth. I hadn't seen anything like that I'm going to kill. And if I did, I don't know that I would. I'd probably run from it. A hairy locust with a crown on its head. Right? So, you can't let people say Revelation is literal. And if they want to take Revelation literal, let's look at marriage. Mark 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 6. Mark 10 and verse 6. Go read verse 6 through 9. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. Marriage is honorable in the sight of God. Ephesians 5, Hebrews 13, back up what we're reading in Mark 10. Let's read Matthew 22. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Verse 30. Matthew 22, verse 30. For in the resurrection they are neither married nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. Mark chapter 12 and Luke 20 also repeat that. There is no marriage in heaven. So if you want to use Revelation as literal, then we're all in trouble that are married in here right now because we're not following what Revelation says. So, how can you have both? How can you say, all right, well, they sing in there, we want to do what's in heaven. Well, there's no marriages in heaven. So, we can't be married now. You have to take the whole. You can't have it both ways. What about the Greek word for sing in there? For sing, it means to pluck. Well, in the old Greek, it did mean to pluck. But when the Bible was written, that wasn't what the Greek word meant. Dialect had changed. The Greek word meant sing. But let's say you didn't. Let's turn back to Ephesians 5 and 19. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Let's use pluck in the verse. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, plucking and making melody to the Lord with all your heart. plucking and making melody to the Lord in your heart. Well, number one, where does it say you're doing it at? Does it say plucking in the worship service? It says in your heart. Let's go more literal. Let's say it was saying plucking. Does it say one or two people or a band up here on the stage? It means everybody, right? Because when we read it, we say we sing. So does this not say that every one of us should have an instrument if we're going to be doing it? We all should be plucking if they want to go by the Greek word? Everyone would have to do it. So let's look at some other New Testament scriptures. Acts chapter 16. Acts 16 and verse 25. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. What were they doing? Praying and singing hymns. Well, they were in prison. They couldn't have musical instruments. Well, then why did it do anything? Why didn't it just wait? Well, we sing to God, but we don't have our musical instruments with us, so we'll just have to wait till we get out of prison. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. They're focusing on singing with their mind and spirit. I don't see anything in there about musical instruments. Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17. Colossians 3, 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, singing psalms. Same as Ephesians 5:19. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 12. Saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. Doesn't say I'm going to get my guitar and I'm going to sing a song. I'm not going to be plucking and to the congregation. It says I'm going to be singing. Matthew 26:30, they sang a hymn. Well, in Hebrews, let's turn to chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, let us continue to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Doesn't say anything about the musical instrument that we're going to be playing. How are we praising? Through our lips. The fruit of our lips acknowledge him. All right, well, what about history? History, it's been done in history, so that's what we need to go on. That's what everyone else says. We need to do history. Well, what about history? There's nothing recorded until the 3rd century. First 2 centuries, there's no signs that the church ever had anything. In the 3rd century, where did it come in? Rome, the Catholics. What about in the U.S.? Well, it's the United States. When did we get it here? The earliest I found was in the 1850s when a gentleman introduced a small version of a piano, and I'm not mentioning his name on purpose, but I do have his name if you want it later. He started out saying the singing was so awful we couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. It was just horrendous. So on Saturday afternoon, we started practicing with this little piano, and everyone got better. So then the congregation and the people said, well, why don't we just use it in the service? He said, well, I don't find anywhere where it says we can't, so it should be okay. And introduced it. But it hasn't always been the case. Many of the sermons that Brother Rick has told us over the past few weeks about denominations, there's a list of them. Martin Luther, founder of the Lutheran Church, said it was an ensign of Baal to have musical instruments. John Calvin, founding the Presbyterian Musical instruments and celebrating the praises of God would be no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting up of lamps, and the restoration of the other shadows of the law. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church. I have no objection. I like this one. I have no objection to instruments of music in our chapels, provided they are never seen nor heard. Adam Clark, Methodist scholar. Music as a science I esteem and admire, but instruments of music in the house of God I abominate and abhor. Charles Spurgeon, from the Baptist denomination. We might as well pray by machinery as praise by it. He never allowed instruments in his 10,000-seated metropolitan tabernacle in London, ever. Even the denominations didn't start with it. The founder said, that's not part of it. That's not why we broke off. They had their other reasons they wanted to do that. And where have those went? Even further and further away. Well then, what about song books? What about Bibles? What about PowerPoints? What about pitch pipes? You're doing the same thing. You don't have authority to do those. Well, that makes sense. Let's just add something else on top of it to where we're not doing even something else right. Let's add musical instruments on top of that. Colossians 3:17 we looked at earlier. Go back to Colossians 3:17 with me. Both times I read it, I didn't read the whole verse. Let's read the whole verse this time. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Through Him. Is that not saying we've got to have His authority? Is that not saying we're going to do it through Him? Where's His authority on the matter? Well, what about the building you're in? Hebrews 10:25 says we need to assemble. It doesn't say we have to have a building. We can rent a building, build a building, buy a building, meet in a park. But it comes to a part to what's expedient. What's expedient mean? Something fit or suitable for a purpose under the proper circumstances. An aid. So a songbook helps us sing the songs that God's commanded us to do. Oh, well, then musical instruments are an aid too because they just make us sound that much better. Remember where I mentioned the guy in the U.S. earlier? That's what his whole congregation talked him into. Well, let's just bring it in. It makes us better. God wants us to be perfect, but people are looking at the wrong part of being perfect for God. He wants us to be perfect in following Him. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Teaching them. Is that PowerPoint helping teach people? It is. People can visually see what is being said. Do we have to have it? We don't have to. But it's an aid that helps spread the word. The Bible. People have brought up, well, the Bible's an aid. I'm not even going to touch that one. It's the Bible. We're going to move on from that one. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. Let's go back to the Old Testament. Genesis 6 and 14. Talking about Noah building an ark. Commanded by God. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch. Well, what about oak? What about pine? Why's it got to be gopher wood? What about instead of pitch, we've got sap off of the trees. Coated the boat real good with it. Because you get pine sap on you, you can't get it off with water, can you? That ark's going to float. It changes what God asks for. What about a hammer or a saw? Wouldn't that help Noah build that ark better? Be a little hard without having the right tools to do it. The hammer, the saw, the tools to put that ark together would be expedient. That would be what God would say, you needed that to get done what I want to done. We have a command to sing, and the songbook doesn't change that. It doesn't change the fundamentals of singing, but musical instruments do. 2 Samuel 6, we're not going to turn there, but the ark was on a cart. What did Uzzah do? He steadied the ark. It was going to fall off, probably smash into pieces. I'm going to go ahead and turn there. He steadied the ark, for the ox had stumbled. Verse 7. So verse 7 said, God said, thank you. You know better than me. I'm glad you did that. Appreciate you taking care of my ark. Verse 7 says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God struck him down there because of his error, and he died there beside the ark of God. Well, those are Old Testament examples. You already said you can't use the Old Testament because we're under the New Testament now. Let's go to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. We'll do one example from the New Testament. Matthew 26, verse 27. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood for the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Mark chapter 14, Luke 22. Also talk about the fruit of the vine. Well, why can't we change that then? Grape juice may give people heartburn. Why don't we just use water? Water's mentioned in the Bible. Water of life, right? Let's use water. Or why can't we just use Coke or anything else if we're going to have musical instruments? Milk. Milk's mentioned in the Bible. People don't change that. So why change singing to something else? And people will say, well, people at Church of Christ, they always use the Lord's Supper as an example and say, we'll use Coke and pizza on it. That's not the same thing. I beg to differ. Jesus told us what to use. They also were told to sing. Nothing about musical instruments. All right, well, in my heart, it just feels right. Who's worship for? Is worship for us? Or is it for God? It's for God. Well, I know God just, he wants us to be happy. Happy in doing what God's already put forth in the Bible for us to do. God never said, I wish I'd have thought of that. I'm glad they added that to my word because that's making everything else so much better. Well, God wouldn't send someone to hell for using musical instruments. That's not my God. He wouldn't do that. God didn't say not to, so we can do it. Does God's silence give us consent? If it cannot be found, does that make it right or wrong? No one disagrees that we should sing. Although some sit while a choir sings to them and they count that as them singing. There's a lot of people out there in the denominational world that don't know how to sing because they watch this choir that practices two or three times a week sing for them. And they count that as them singing. But I don't think the Bible says, watch other people sing praises to me. I had a gentleman that I used to work with. He was in the band. He played the drums. He said, oh yeah, I can't wait to go to church services. I think he actually said just church. And I said, why? He said, well, I'm in the band. I get to play the drums. I get a check. I get paid to play the drums. Are you going to go if you don't get paid? Probably not. Where's your attitude? Where's your purpose? The other day, I did have two Baptist gentlemen tell me, though, we've went too far now. I can't even understand the music that we're playing and singing anymore. It's so loud, I don't know what's going on. Can they turn back? Can they stop? Can they tell all those youth that they got in there to say, I want y'all here, we're going to have this band here, everything's going to be great, and you'll be ready to come to services. Say, hey, we've got to tone it back a little now. What's going to happen? They're going to leave left and right and find in the next place that has the best band where they can go and listen. They'll shut the doors. No one disagrees with what you're saying, but the New Testament is silent on playing songs to God. It is not commanded, not an example of the church using it anywhere in the New Testament. We are to sing. So isn't it sad we don't use instrumental music? No, it's not, because we're following what God says. It's sad how many out there are and how many more every day, like in our gospel meeting he said, are changing and letting musical instruments and everything else into their congregations and changing for the worse. John 16, 12 through 13. Jesus didn't say everything. He told the apostles, I don't have time to. Turn to John 16, 12, 13. John 16, verses 12 and 13. And I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Jesus had to die on the cross. He didn't have time to go over everything with his apostles. But the Spirit came and finished that job. And that's why we have the Bible today, because it wouldn't be what it is without what the Spirit interceded for us and told the apostles what else Jesus and God wanted done. Revelation 22, 18 through 19. Revelation 22. 18 and 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. There's where you're not supposed to add and you're not supposed to take away. We're trying to make sure we don't take away, but we're definitely going to make sure we don't add. Well, that's Revelation. You said we can't take it literal. Fair enough. Go to 2 John. 2 John 1, verse 8 and 9. Watch yourselves, that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. If you go outside those boundaries, where do you stand with God? You're not where you're supposed to be. If you're going outside those boundaries and adding musical instruments, you're not living like you're supposed to. So, to some, we're doing what's right. And to others, sorry I couldn't prove otherwise, but there's no way to prove it. We have no where it says we need musical instruments. We need to live and die by what the Bible says, where we have that reward in heaven when this life is over. This lesson has not been one to help you make up your mind to obey God, to help you see sin in your life. But we always want to offer an invitation to anyone that is wanting to take care of that. So if there is anyone that is wanting to obey the gospel or needs to come before and ask for forgiveness, let's stand and sing at this time and come forward.